I'm kind of excited about this service tonight because I think it's something we are learning as a body. Pastor Bob Pecaire, great to see you. Wow, awesome. What we're learning, let me explain it to you. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. There is preaching, and we had really great morning here this morning on the linkage of five principles of truth in the mind of God for us, and it produces worship. God loving us. There was a time in this history when Moab and Ammon were coming out against Israel, and Jehoshaphat was the king, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, verse 14, and he told the Jewish people, verse 15, listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Now, when we have finished work teaching and we respond in our heart to God's love for us, we learn to concentrate, and this is one part of our worship, is our concentration. When we sing these songs or listen to them and we worship, it says in this story that God, while they worshiped, verse 17, you will not need to fight in this battle. You'll not have to fight in this battle. Verse 18, Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Worshiping the Lord. I wonder if we couldn't grow or learn more about worship in our private life, in our personal life, and in our corporate body life. I love our worship here in the church. It's a highlight for me. I love to be here singing with you and worshiping God and thinking of the words and worshiping God. It is beautiful. I just love it. I think it's amazing. And this is what happened. Verse 19, then the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. Somehow the Spirit of God made them like sing, and they were loud. And that happens. Sometimes Psalm 130, we wait on the Lord. Sometimes we are still. Be still. And know that God, he will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. But concentration in worship is a powerful thing. Our minds wander a lot. Amen. Some of you, you're thinking about your car right now. Like, stop it. Your cat, your dog, your house, your roof, the leaky faucet. You're thinking about Kmart, I mean Walmart, or shopping, or a family member or something. Your mind wanders. Our minds wander. But it is powerful when you find in the Spirit and in worship, and you're able to keep your mind and in this adoration of the living God who loved me, who gave himself for me, who cares about me. He says, cast your cares on me. I care for you. I'll take care of it. Like, drop it, leave it, die, stop it. And just respond to me. I love you. Respond. That's what's happening here in this story. And look at what happened as they were worshiping. Verse 20. They rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went, Joseph stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." I have sisters and brothers. That's what's happening to us. We are believing his prophets, and we are prospering. We are believing in what he is saying to us, and we are benefiting. We are believing in him, and we're growing in our faith. Now, when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, his mercy endures forever." It's that simple. They were worshiping God. Maybe tonight, as we worship God and we pray for our country, maybe God is setting ambushes. Look at the next verse, 22. "Now when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon." Who set the ambushes? God set the ambushes. What were the people doing? They were singing and praising God and worshiping God with their spirit and in faith and in their hearts. God was taking care of our problems. He was doing something. And he set the ambushes. And God did it. What were the people doing? Worshiping, praising, believing. Put our eyes on there. Maybe my wife will come back after she abandoned me. Maybe the cancer will be cast out. I heard Jim Cromwell, a good old friend of ours, has the liver problem, and he is at the end. And who knows what God could do in healing a brother or a sister. And pray for him and think about it and worship God. What can God do? I don't know. I'm not going to carry the thing to take me down. I'm going to be filled with worship and praise, and worship and praise and thanksgiving. And then maybe God will take care of that thing. God will remove it. I'm not going to pray about it even. I'm just going to worship God. And he's going to do it. What's he going to do? I don't know. That's what we're saying tonight. And so this service is maybe a little learning lesson for us. I know we do it. I know we do it. I believe in it. And we have amazing preaching by so many brothers and sisters that's happening everywhere. And we're being fed. We're being fed. And now, like, just remember, you can take it home and be a worshiper in your heart and be lighthearted and worshiping and thankful. And that's what we're doing. So thank you, Lord. Father, bless these thoughts to our hearts and minds, and that sometimes when we're faced with trouble, can we just shake it off and come before your presence with joy and thanksgiving, where you have made us. We have not made ourselves. You are our Father. You are the shepherd and bishop of our souls. You will heal us. You will visit us. You will solve our problems. Amen. Yes. Solve our problems, Lord. Amen. Solve our problems. Hallelujah. Let God solve our problems. Let God be lifted up. How's it? Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Leave us, enemies. Leave us. Amen. God is God arise. Amen.
That was an awesome message tonight. This morning, too, I couldn't help but spending the day just praising the Lord for God is for me. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Say, praise you, Lord. You're for me. Wow. Hello? You're for me. And just thinking about that, that when I'm against myself, God is for me. When somebody's against me, God's for me. The devil's always against me, God's for me. The world can't stand me, God's for me. My flesh hates the new man, but God is what? God's for me. You know, Paul in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, it says, if God be for you, who can be against you? That was a great verse, a great message this morning too. And, you know, there's a lot of controversy about the word if and he is. And it's quoted from Psalm 56, verse 9, I believe, where David the psalmist says, this I know. This I know, God is for me, who can be against me? And the Hebrew language actually says, in view of the absolute certain fact, God is for me. Not like maybe, not possibly, not it could be, not my evaluation, not my analysis of it. It's an absolute certain fact, God is for me. And this is amazing that God is for me. And in that psalm, Psalm 56, I like how he says, praise the Lord. In God, I will praise his word. I will put my trust in God. 13 initiations from the enemy, trying to swallow me up, marking my steps, iniquity, oppressing me, gathering themselves against me. He mentions 13 negatives as far as the attacks against him personally. But none of that matters. You know why? God is what? For me. And thinking about the links, as we heard about the links this morning, which, once again, that was just a great message from Pastor Shallow through the Spirit. And I was thinking about, this kind of got my mind going this morning a little bit after I went home. One time they brought me into a place in an inner prison in Massachusetts, and they said, we want you to see this man. This man was chained hand to hand, foot to foot, and then hand to feet, three chains. Very interesting. They said, so with God and the way you all were always talking, what can you do for him? I said, break the chains. God can break the chains, you know. What not? And actually, after about a month of speaking to him and constantly initiating and praying for him, the chains were broken. Chains were broken. This was what they would call imagine that. Triple set of chains and in a cell. That's pretty interesting. And yet, God breaks the chains. And when he breaks the chains, he links us with the chains of God's love. Wow. And I thought, that's so incredible how God links. I mean, I was thinking about the link of Psalm 56 and Romans chapter 8 with David and Paul. Then I was thinking about the link in Romans chapter 8. The Holy Spirit in Romans 8:26 is for us. The Father in 8:31 is for us. It says in 8:34, the Son is for us. What a link. What's the deal? The Father, the Son, and the Spirit in love are what? For us. Say it. For us. God is for us. It's amazing. And then here's, you know, sometimes we can say that with, you know, just the outward words, and we do mean it, and we praise the Lord for that. But here's some definition to God is for us. Here's another link. He foreknew us. He conformed us to his image. He called us. He justified us, and he glorified us. There's another link. Okay? That's another link from being foreknown to being glorified. Foreknown, conformed by the Spirit, called, justified, glorified. Wow. God is what?
For us.
God is for us. God is for us. And every day our flesh and the world and the devil is trying to initiate towards us in many situations. And whether it's a trial, a valley that we're in, a time that we're passing through, we absolutely know, without a doubt, when we read this word and we hear from the Holy Spirit and we're in the body, that God is for us. God is for us. Who can be against us? And this is a church. He's speaking to a church of 100 to 125 people in a city of 4 million that worships Caesar. And here's what you get when you follow God. You get the Colosseum where you're murdered, or you get the catacombs where you live underground. And even in the Colosseum and in the catacombs, you know that God is what? I read a story about an 18-year-old girl named Perpetua. And they brought her in, they stripped her naked and brought her before the lions. And she was more concerned with people seeing her body than the lions. So she got on the ground and covered herself all up so nobody could see her, and didn't even, or had no concern about the lions coming at her. And you know what? That particular thing that happened stopped that whole thing from ever happening again. She stopped it with that move. You know why? She knew what? God is what? God is for us. I was telling somebody today, they're living in the middle of a religious group that is 99.9% them, and then there's a few of these other believers. And I said, you want to know something? I heard this morning in a message from the Spirit through Pastor Shallow that God is what?
For us.
I don't hear you.
For us.
God is for us. Oh, I don't care what the income tax says. I don't care what's going on out there in this world. And I know we're concerned, we pray. But you know what? Nothing that ever happens, nothing that has happened, nothing that is happening, and nothing that will happen can ever remove the certain fact, and that's why we praise the Lord.
Amen.
Why? He's for us. He's absolutely for us. And that word, he's above and beyond what's happening. Oh, sickness. In sickness, God is what?
For us.
In financial difficulty.
For us.
In relationship problems.
For us.
He's what?
For us.
For us. And you know what? We proclaim it to the atmosphere. God is for me. God is for me. I'm linked. I got the link of the Word of God. I've got the link of the Holy Spirit. I got the link of God's love. I got the link of God's mercy, the link of God's faithfulness, the link of the body of Christ, the link of the gospel. We're all linked together.
Amen.
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 And you ain't breaking that chain.
Amen.
That chain ain't breaking. That chain isn't breaking. God is what? Let's stand and just lift our hands as Pastor Mark comes again and praise the Lord. God is what?
For us.
Keep saying that God's for me. By the way, here's three things. God's for me, God's for us as the body, and God's for them who are lost. God's for me. Personally. God's for us as a church and the body. And God is for them who are lost and without Him. Without a doubt. God what? Are you getting me?
God is for you.
God is for you.